It is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. I'm Jim Taylor. Good to have you along. Honored to have a longtime coach in the Western Illinois area. Scott Paxson coaches over at Stark County High School. Started back in 1989. Our first question today is he drove all the way across Illinois Route 17. So good morning, sir. We begin our conversation with a traffic report. What was it like today?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Roads are fine. I don't know. I think, you know, if you take your time and go the speed required, it's fine. But not a whole lot of snow or ice on the roads.
So games should be played today is what you're saying.
I think LTC tournament's going to happen, so we'll see.
All right. So, and that's, I guess, kind of how we begin our conversation today from an athletic director standpoint, 2018, 2019 versus, say, 1989, 1990. Are decisions different now than they were then in terms of canceling games or canceling school? Because you know the conversation is here this week, some old-timer in the coffee shop here in Aledo saying, what, they're canceling school today? Not they didn't do that back when I was in school.
They didn't do that even in my – I mean, I think it is more of a modern thing, if you want to call it that. But, I think people, if they can't go 55, it's like Armageddon. You know, they have to be able to drive the speed limit or faster. And if they have to take their time, it's trouble brewing. But, you know, I was talking with my wife about it. I just live a block and a half from the school. I can remember walking to school and, good Lord, that your breath is freezing coming out of there, you know. And now if it's, you know, it's cold and, you know, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday don't look good. So we'll see what happens if we have school those days. But, everything's based on a whole different formula these days rather than getting things done.
Are you, when we reach certain milestones in our career, you're at 30. So and sometimes you become reflective because maybe you haven't thought about this, but I'll say you're closer to the end of your career than you are the beginning of your career. Are you, I guess the first question is, how did you last for 30 years in one school? Teaching, and then I think more importantly, coaching at one school in 30 years. That is the exception now today, and that is not the rule. So how'd you do it? And you're still doing it.
Yeah, I think the big thing at Tulon, Wyoming, you know, I was at Tulon 3 years before we consolidated into Stark County, but our school board, even though, you know, people have changed on that over the years, but the one thing they've had is how you represent the school. Winning and losing is important, of course, but I don't know that we've ever had a coach, you know, get in any trouble with the school board or administration for winning and losing. It's always been about how you represent the school. And so I find that important myself, and I've tried to do that. And, I've had a lot of, when I was younger, you know, I was a yeller and a screamer, and really, and still you have to do that, but, you know, when you're young, you really get after it. And I've had a lot of, I was fortunate. I think I had, you know, like Gary Johnson, Larry Freeman, a lot of older coaches that I was smart enough to take lessons from and how to manage things. And, that's probably the number one way I was able to do that. But I think people also know that I care. And, when you care, I think people can really appreciate that.
And when I do these conversations, we get off track here. And you said it. I know when I've had conversations with coaches over the years that have done it for a long time and are successful, they and I'm paraphrasing what a lot of them will say, kids know.
They
have the sense, they know if the coach or the teacher or the administrator is in it. They know.
Yeah.
And that's in my opinion, that's the secret of success. And I'm not basing success on going to the state tournament every year or getting to the state semifinals in football or whatever the sport is. It's the situations where you get the multiple invites to weddings well after the kid's done, or you get the invitation to the college graduation party or some big moment in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds simple. And it's simple maybe for a guy like you, but, you know, just if you can expand on that, I guess.
Well, I think, and you read a lot, you know, there's social media puts everything out there now. But, you know, back when I started, that wasn't out there. But I think the one thing I just always enjoyed is getting to know the kids and getting to know the people in Stark County. And, not necessarily to try to get them on my side, but if you want to win, you got to have everybody on the same page as much as you can. And I think that's part of what happens. What, you know, what you said, you get kids come up to you and they talk to you. They want to know what you're doing. And, you know, that's a big key to it. If you're going to try to be successful, you got to have relationships with the kids and, that you care about them and you want them to be successful. And really, if you're a teacher and a coach, that's really, I think, one of the big parts of your job to being successful is to get them to understand that whole formula.
You've had four kids that graduated from Stark County High School, three boys and a daughter. So we're kind of alike. I had three daughters and a boy. I'll tell you that I know raising three daughters is way more challenging than probably raising three boys, but I digress. They were involved in athletics, I assume. What was that like for you from, I guess, growing up or watching them grow up? You know, because my kids, they knew, they became accustomed. They thought life was, this was what life was, because that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, was that like basically for them, for you, it was an easy transition because that's, they grew up in a gym or they grew up around academics and athletics, so they knew that basically this was the only way of life.
Yeah, and it is for them. And, you know, they, of the four, only one is a teacher. The other three are off in completely different lines of work, but they learned to walk in the gym, learned to walk on bleachers. It was kind of their, they knew everything about the gyms, the fields. You know, they grew up there. It was part of what they did. And, you know, my wife and I have been married for almost 32 years and, you know, raising the four kids, that's kind of what we did. We just kind of surrendered to it. It was our kids and the school. And that's pretty much what we were. We're still the school and our kids, but now it's, for the kids, watching them go off and do the things they're doing. It's really kind of enjoyable to watch them go into different lines of work and see and just hear the stories they say and things that all the lessons that they apply to their jobs now come from those athletic experiences and that are very valuable.
All right. So we were talking off the air. You said I think the IHSA has you officially at 240, but you said we're really our actual number of kids now in the building, 201.
That was the last time I talked to the secretary.
So,
yeah, 201.
So what is the in? That's the rule: declining enrollment in mm-hmm. this area. It's not only Stark County. It's basically you talk about the LTC schools. I can talk about the Three Rivers schools. I can talk about the Prairie Land Conference schools in this area. So we're talking about Western Illinois, West Central Illinois. The declining enrollment is because of declining population and an aging population in this area. So, you know, the adults stay, live here, their kids graduate, go on and move somewhere else, relocate somewhere else, and have their lives somewhere else. What's the future, you think? So if you've done it for 30 years, so you started in 89-90, right? Mm-hmm. So Tulane and Wyoming were a thing. They were separate. We see what demographics and population and enrollment, the direct result is consolidation. We see the same West Myrne, Aledo. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. See with Yorkwood, Warren, Alexis. We can go on and on. Union and Southern. So if I ask you, Scott Paxson, 2019, so let's go 30 years out, say you were just starting. So 30 years out from 2019, what do you think it's going to be like here athletically and academically, and what will be then? If you look at the 30 years from when you started in the transition, I don't see the trends continue. I know I was at a school board meeting at an area school, I'm not going to name the school, and they were talking about the declining enrollment, trying to reverse the trend, and they talk about what they've lost from the late 80s to now. And, well, we need to, you know, the talk is we need to reverse the trend. And the superintendent said, you know, I'm just being honest with you. We're going to be lucky if we can stay steady. The trend we're not going to probably reverse the trend. That made me sad, but there was some honesty in getting slapped in the face about that. So that's a concern. So what do you, so long story short, if you were starting today, what do you think this area is going to look like with high school sports, with the culture of small school districts? What's it going to look like, you think?
Well, the fact that the, you know, all residents have a chance to have a say-so in what kind of school district they have, I think is a powerful tool with that. But, you know, like you talk about 89-90, there were a lot of drives to athletic events that were, you know, 30 minutes. You didn't have to go very far. We're now, just within the Lincoln Trail, you've got a couple, three drives that are an hour or better, you know. So I think that's just what it is. I think it's going to be more of the same, you know, like from 89-90, you know, Tulane and Wyoming are apart to 92-93, we're together to make Stark County. I think you're just going to see that happening. I think in schools and as well as athletics, you have to have competition academically as well as athletically. And then it gets to a point where numbers where you can't offer enough classes that aren't just math or English, you know, things that, that keep kids going that are outside of those things. So I think there's going to be more consolidation. You know, some of the states where the state has come in and set up school districts, I don't know if that'll ever happen in Illinois. I kind of doubt it, but I think that it's going to make sense for more consolidation. Maybe you center schools around junior colleges where, because you hear more and more of that going on, where kids are taking junior college classes in their senior year and maybe in junior year sometimes, but maybe that's what happens, where there are buildings built. And maybe the local schools keep their K-8s and then come together as high schools, just because how much time do you want a child on a bus, depending on their age. So I think you're going to see more and more of it.
Well, and you're seeing that now with the birth in Illinois of eight-man football, and a lot of that is based on participation numbers, which is based on enrollment. And I know you're an AD, and you've been around since 89-90. Help out with this Stark County football staff. What do you see the end result with eight-man football, you think? Do you think that that's really what – I think there's, what, 13 or 14 or some number of teams like that next year. I mean, do you think there's going to be this substantial growth in that?
I think you're going to see – you wonder about co-ops in the future. Are those going to continue, or – are people going to think, well, that's a cheaper way to go because it's less travel, you know? So, but if that grows to where there's enough to make it a relevant state champion, because I think of what you have to have less than 300 kids in your school to have eight-man football. But that's going to be interesting to see how many schools decide to do that, as for a lot of different reasons. But I'm not sure if that's going to make or break football. I think there's just some schools, and it's a way to keep football. I think it's a good option if you really have no one close that you can co-op with if numbers are a problem. But I'm not sure where that's going to go. Like you said, there's 13 now. It's how many does it take to make it a legitimate division?
Yeah, and that's the decision the IHSA is going to have to make. And I know with the football scheduling issue now, with district scheduling coming into play, you know, and now there's talk I hear behind the scenes, and I legitimately could see it happen, that somebody's going to introduce the bylaw amendment to say, no, we're not doing this. And then what happens? But it looks like, I mean, they're moving in that direction in 2021. But From a football scheduling standpoint now, with like North Fulton leaving because the LTC had that two crossover game arrangement, what do you think the future is, at least leading up to 2021 now, with them going to eight-man and potentially maybe, I heard Peoria Heights is going, so it looks like the Prairie Land Conference would have 10 teams, but then I heard some of those lower enrollment Prairie Land Conference teams, they still want to cross over with the LTC. So, athletic director, take it away. What's going to happen with scheduling, at least leading up to 2021? And do you think there'll be a counter bylaw amendment to stop the district scheduling? Because I kind of get wind that something's brewing in that direction.
Starting with district football, I think no matter what you do, you're always going to have problems. You know, you got you got some bigger schools like Macomb and some of the schools over on the west side of the state, or you have those on the north and all over where they can't go all four directions to find opponents unless they cross into another state. So you have all kinds of problems with the way it was. Everybody's conference jumping, trying to find five wins to make the playoffs. I personally like what it is now. But going to districts, I don't think that you are solving more problems. You're solving some of the problems we have now, but you're creating other ones. You know, you've got the Western Big Six, where Moline, I believe, is a 7A school in their conference. And you have Pekin and Peoria, but who are those two schools going to play? Mm-hmm. You have East St. Louis, who has opted to play. They're a 5A school who's opted to play 7A. What are you going to do with them? And are 5A schools going to like that? You know, so I just think there's a whole lot of problems. I said that. We've talked about that at school. It may get to districts, but I think, like, maybe before that, there's going to be a proposal to not have districts because the vote was so close. But I think it would have been a lot better if they would have shown us the prospective districts before the vote. And I'd like to see them now. You know, I think that's what everybody's waiting for. Who are we going to play?
Everybody wants to see them. But, you know, too, from my standpoint, I don't know what this area is going to look like in 2021. That's the other big issue, because I don't know what, with the declining enrollment the way it is, and when we're talking about as it relates to football, what are some of these programs even going to have with participation numbers, and can they field a competitive 11-man team, and they're not playing kids that are at the freshman and sophomore level at attrition, and then you run those kids off by the time they're juniors and seniors because they get sick of getting clobbered when they're freshmen and sophomores. I mean, those are the dynamics that we kind of deal with mm-hmm. in this area.
I think that's true. And I think one of the things, going back to Tulane and Wyoming being separate, we had 140, 45 kids at Tulane, and we fielded a fresh, soft in a varsity team every year. I mean, and there were, you know, there's 35, 40, 45 kids out for football out of 140, 45 kids playing. We've got 200, you know, we've had that for years, but now our last few years, we're in the 30s at participation level. So I think that football's problem is not all the things that are going on with scheduling. It is, but I think the main problem we have is football in general, just kids aren't participating in football. And I think schools have enough kids to field a fresh, soft, and a varsity team, but kids aren't coming out. And I think it's a hard sport. It's demanding physically. Although on the other side, you know, I think it's a great sport for kids. I think it's the one sport where if you just go lift weights and make yourself strong, which is good for you all the way around, not just football, and then you come out for football, you're going to do just fine. You're going to have a lot of fun. I've just seen it for mm-hmm. years. It's just been the last couple of years, I think, that we've seen a lot of schools struggle for numbers. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with 8-man versus co-ops and what people choose to do. I'm not sure there is an answer. I'm not sure what the future of football is. You know, Coach Nord has said, and, you know, he's 40 now, and he has said he's not sure if he'll be able to coach football at in the schools for his entire career just because of the way kids aren't going out.
Yeah.
And that's the main conversation we have at school is we've got a lot of kids that could play. You know, and we really beat the bushes. And I've said for years, I think it should be a rule that every boy has to play football their freshman year. They may not continue after that, but I think that is an experience that kids don't – you just don't get that anywhere else. I don't care what you do, what sport you play, what activity. You don't get that football experience anywhere else.
Well, and you bring up you hit on this earlier. The one – and I agree with you. The consolidation – and I'm careful how I'm saying this, but consolidation, I think, in a small school sense, has hurt football. Because you brought up the point about, well, naturally Tulane and Wyoming would that's a game. Well, naturally you look at, you know, Alexis, Yorkwood, and Warren. Mm-hmm. Those are natural games. Southern and Union. I mean, you had your opponents, as you mentioned, within 15 minutes of one another, and kids wanted to compete against their neighboring school district in at least that sport in terms of. Now you look at what consolidation has done, as you talk about. You know, you're driving. You know, if you look at one end of the LTC to the other end of the LTC, if you go pre-consolidation, you know, you wouldn't. Stark County's not going to get over. You know, Tulane or Wyoming You know, they're not going to get as far south as maybe Stronghorst Southern, for the most part. And, you know, Stronghorst Southern's not going to get that far east. And so that hurts football. But then, you know, the other – football's at a detriment, in my opinion, of off-season sports now. They're hurt. Now, I know all sports do off-season stuff. I get that. But football, I think, takes the biggest hit now because kids have the opportunity to do any other sport they want to in – during football season, where, you know, back in the day, were there many things going on when you were at United Township High School in the early to mid-80s in the fall that you could do other than play football?
There weren't even camps, you know. I don't remember. I never went to a basketball camp at United Township.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you cannot do that, so because people all get sensitive and saying, well, you're just taking the side of football. No, I'm just saying that football now – is, I get it, football controls dictate scheduling nowadays, mm-hmm. I get that, but football is impacted the most by, I think, the off-season stuff. Now, there are other opportunities now for kids mm-hmm. to do something else, and if they want to do that, cool, that's fine with me, but I'm just saying that wasn't an issue that football had to deal with in the 70s and the 80s, and I'd say even much of the 90s, too.
I would agree with you. I think, I don't know, at Stark County, I don't think that's been as much of a problem. I really honestly don't. I know I'm talking to other coaches, that's a problem. You know, just being a girls basketball coach for all these years, one of the big problems going on right now is club volleyball affecting the numbers in girls basketball teams, and you see that. So does football suffer from that? Yeah, I think so. I think all sports are suffering from the, you know, and you see it all the time too, where if you want to play in college, which a lot of kids don't necessarily do, but, you know, they want to play one sport and put all their eggs in one basket, which I'm not sure that that's I don't advise that. You know, all four of mine played three sports, but I do think football hurts from that. I think you lose a lot to – basketball seems to be huge. Baseball's big now too, but I don't know that football is – they're affected by that, but I still think the main reason that football numbers are down is because it's hard. That I just – you know, we have this conversation all the time at school and I talk with other people, but – I just can't get, for my own personal opinion, I just can't get past that. I think it's hard, and that's what's changed. It's very challenging, but it's very rewarding at the same time. And I think that you know, other sports could be the problem, but I don't think so. Just in watching how numbers have gone at our school, and sure, our enrollment's down some, but I think the main problem is it's hard.
Well, and then I've always said, too, football's at a disadvantage because of the games-to-practice ratio. If you look at all the other sports, especially through the youth era, because I know in your era of 89 to 90 to now, youth was nowhere near what it is now in any sport. Because most, if you look at when we grew up, you played maybe junior high basketball, you know, from December to February, maybe that was it.
Yeah.
And now you're playing basically September to whatever, and you know, you played maybe 18 games if you're lucky, your seventh grade year, eighth grade year, and basically you play 18 games in two weekends now. So, and then you know how youth is, you practice what, maybe two times a week and play, you know, 14 games on the weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. So football is completely opposite, mm-hmm. where it's a lot of practice and not as many games. And kids are smart enough to realize, in my opinion, too, that, as you say, that's the hard part of it. You don't get to play a lot of games, but you're practicing a lot. And even they talk about the contact stuff and how they've changed all that and what you can do on certain days and what you can't do. But I see that as a big issue, too, in terms of the sport of football, is more practices than games.
I would agree with you on that, too, and that is part of the hard part. And, you know, you there was an article a few years ago about the, you know, how Peoria basketball just isn't as good as it used to be. And they were talking to some of the really good players that are now back and their coaches there. And they talked about that. When they were kids, go look at the parks. They're not full of kids like they used to be. And, you know, when they were kids, they talked about, you know, you'd practice five times a week, and you couldn't wait till that Saturday morning game when you're in fifth grade. And now they're practicing. Why is it down? Well, they're practicing once or twice, and they're playing five games during the week. Yeah. So, that is a part of football's problem too, I think, you know. And I think a lot of coaches have done a great job in changing, for lack of a better word, the entertainment value of practice. You know, we have not traditionally done a lot of contact in practice, and it seems to have always worked out for us on Friday nights. But, you know, you really have to invent ways to entertain the kids, pretty much. So, yeah, that is a problem.
Talking with Scott Paxson, 30 years coaching and teaching at Stark County. And we'll continue our conversation. It's the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning.
Rebuilding a home can be expensive. Many homeowners don't realize that their insurance may not provide them with enough coverage to build the same home in the same location. Country Financial is just one of a few insurance companies that offer insurance that covers the replacement cost of your home, even if that amount is higher than the policy limit. Call your Country Financial agent today to find out more about homeowners insurance. Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois. Must qualify for additional replacement cost coverage. Minimum insurance to value required.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
If you're in the market for a tractor, sprayer, or combine, Martin Sullivan is your home for new and used John Deere equipment, commercial and residential lawn equipment like zero-turn mowers and riding mowers, lawn tractors, and more. Stop in today and talk with one of our experienced team members to figure out what equipment is right for your job. See us about one of our great inspections or smart services. Troubleshoot with our knowledgeable parts and services departments. We have the equipment, service, and people you know and appreciate at Martin Sullivan in Aledo.
The human foot is complex with 26 bones, 33 joints, 20 of which are actively articulated, and there's more than 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments. That's why 6140 Run introduced Albert, the revolutionary 3D foot scanner. Albert helps customize your shoes specifically to your feet. Whether you run, walk, or on your feet for a long time, 6140 Run knows feet come in all shapes and sizes, and with Albert, you'll get a customized, comfortable fit every time. 6140 Run carries Brooks, Mizuno, and Wolverine work boots. For a better fit for your feet, see 6140 Run next to the Downtown Y in Galesburg.
When you need computer help, you need it quick. Office Specialist understands that. Just like their name says, their certified, knowledgeable technicians are specialists in network maintenance, custom web apps for your intranet, website design, new computer sales, troubleshooting, and more. Many times they can perform remote repair without visiting you. Let Office Specialist be your go-to techs for all of your computer needs. Contact Office Specialist in Galesburg today.
Sounds familiar? Makes you shiver just hearing it. Understandable, because it's cold out, and when your car won't start or you slip off the road or worse yet are involved in an accident, you need help quickly. Experiencing car trouble this time of year is especially difficult and could even be dangerous. So when this happens, you need Brad's Collision and Towing. Whether it's a simple jump start or you need a tow, they use the latest towing equipment with trained seasoned personnel, and they're there when you need them. Trust Brad's Collision and Towing in Aledo, 582-2413.
Back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning, Scott Paxson with us. He's a Quad City native. He graduated from United Township High School in East Moline, Illinois, I think 1983. So we have some common friendships out there. I know growing up in Hampton, I hung out with people like Dennis Weiss and Wayne Walker and Kerry Walker. So we have those common friendships. I'm interested to know, though, what hooked you at Toulon and then Stark County? So 200, you said now 201 kids, Stark County High School, 9 through 12. What I think UT, they'd be, what, 1,500 or 1,600 at the height. They were near probably 2,000 maybe back in the 1980s. What drew you to stay at Stark County for 30 years after being a Metro Quad City kid? I'd really like to hear that story.
Interesting. You're coming out of ISU looking for a job. You're interviewing all over the place, and Toulon offered me the job, and so I took it. Now I'm thinking, okay, you know, I want to get back to the Quad City area, and got into Toulon and found out what kind of people were there, and you know, they really are great people. You know, support their programs, want to be successful. And then when consolidation happened, it seemed like when Tulane and Wyoming came together, it was just an explosion of success, for lack of a better term. But it was just an incredible amount of fun. The people I was coaching with and teaching with were all my younger staff. And, you know, we had great leadership with, like I said before, with Gary Johnson, some of the older coaches that were there. And it was just a perfect formula that just – that's why I really wanted to be there. There really was – I went and interviewed at Silvis, at Giorgio Bar, which is the elementary I went to in Silvis, and one of my former junior high teachers was the principal. And just talking to him, and I could have had that. I could have went there and had that job, but I decided that it wasn't better than where I was. You know, in the mid '90s, Chillicothe was a little bit bigger school, and you know, I looked at possibly going there for girls basketball, and same thing. Just it's always the best place has always been Stark County. I've always said it's great to be a Rebel, and I still believe that. And since the mid '90s, I've never even thought about going anywhere else. My kids all went there, and they love being Rebels. It's funny, my oldest son has done a little coaching before he moved out to Cincinnati, but he coached with us, and he's had a lot of people ask him to coach at the other schools in the conference, and he can't do it. He cannot take a job at another school.
That's great. So you're here today. You have a Stark County Under Armour sweatshirt on and a Stark County coat on. Do you ever wonder, you know, Scott Paxson, if he could have attended Tulane or Wyoming instead of going to United Township High School, would you have been able to appreciate those opportunities? Have you ever thought about that, getting the small school opportunity compared to getting the big school opportunity?
Interesting question. You know, I'm not sure. I guess, you know, I always thought when I was a kid that going to UT, and like I think my class had over 600 kids in it, and I thought, I played football, a little bit of baseball, but I always wondered, like, what if I went to Allaman, who at that time was the smaller school mm-hmm. in the Big Six, and what would my opportunity have been to participate in three sports or have more opportunity to do so. And so I don't know at that point. I think going to UT was great educationally with all the things they offer. But coming out to Stark County, you know, I think that's the only thing I would say personally. But I looking at my own kids and the opportunities they've had, two of them made it to Division I in baseball. So the idea that you can't come from a small school and have those opportunities is not true. It's all based on your work ethic. And so that's a tough one. I'm not sure. I think every opportunity that I would have, I think more opportunity would have been available, of course, at a smaller school than it is a bigger school. But I think I'm glad the way everything's gone through.
All right. So I'm curious from the consolidation at Stark County from Tulane to Wyoming. So you were there, and there's always, you know, even though people can be on board, there's always going to be some resistance. What was that like, and how did that transition work?
And that was true. I mean, people were still concerned about, you know, the kids right away. Boom, they were all Rebels immediately. There was no problem with the kids. But we had success in some athletics right away, which really shows that. The amount of course offerings that we had, of course, you know, was greater. You know, you always have some adults that are concerned about not having the football field in Tulane, or, you know, we first consolidated, we had an elementary in both towns. The junior high was in Wyoming at the old high school, and the high school was in Tulane. And there's always that talk about what you lost. But I think over time, you know, right away we were in the playoffs, in football, the first year of consolidation, I think that helped, and we had a lot of success right away athletically and as well as academically, and I think that really showed everybody that it was the right thing to do for the kids. And there hasn't been too much of that, you know, after the first few years.
So we were talking about, you know, participation numbers, things of that nature. How many? So for example, senior class at Stark County, so if you just do the math, it'd be, what, 50 kids in each class, probably. Mm-hmm. So of girls and boys, how many three-sporters do you have in, like, the senior class that you can think of?
I'd say right now we're looking at, one or two. One boy,
now,
I know for sure.
Okay, and then that compares to like 89, 90.
Yeah, well, I don't think over the course of my career there's been a lot of three-sport athletes.
And why do you think that is?
I think that, well, number one is basketball. I think you've seen a lot of, because of what's offered at a small school in the wintertime is one sport. In the fall, you know, you've got football, golf, basketball, or not, but volleyball. You know, you've got other things going on that they can do. And the same in spring, track, baseball, softball. In the winter, it's just basketball. So I think that's a lot to do with it. You're only going to carry, 15 kids on your varsity basketball team. So you might have 15 fresh soft. But so if you're looking at 30 kids, that's still a lot of kids. That's a skill sport that a lot of kids don't want to be on the team or just be with their friends, and some do. So I think that's the big reason is just what's offered.
Yeah, and then from a girls' basketball standpoint, and this is, watching my experience of, my oldest daughter and then my middle daughter. So I'd be interested to get your observation on this, because I feel like in 7th and 8th grade, the rosters are complete where you have 12. Sometimes you have to cut people, I'm not saying all schools. And then even like your JV teams, you go to some of these games and you're like, wow, man, they got 13 kids on their JV roster, or 14 kids. And then you fast forward a couple years and the varsity roster has, 8 juniors and seniors if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in terms of the drop-off, you think, in the participation numbers? And am I right in getting that observation in girls' basketball, where you see as each year goes along, less and less girls play that sport? But like volleyball, there's 800 kids that play mm-hmm. volleyball. They stay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think girls' basketball is a pretty rough sport, especially depending on how the officials call it.
Yeah.
So what is your – do you get that observation, and why do you think that is?
You're exactly right. I think that girls basketball is the contact sport for girls. For our entire, my 30, I've tried to hammer, this is our, we're Stark County, we're football. Let's bring a little bit of that to girls basketball. And we've always been known as a physical team, and, we play hard. I think that girls, I used to say that, you come out, like you said, in seventh grade, we'd get 20 girls out in seventh, 20 in eighth. And then, you get 10 or 12 in freshman, you get, 7 or 8 sophomores, and we were running 30 kids for 25 years. We got 30 girls out for basketball. And I always told them to wait till after their sophomore year to decide whether it's for them or not, because it's also what classes you're competing against. When you get to be a junior, now you're competing against 4 classes for mm-hmm. that playing time, which is pros and cons for the individual, but for the coach, competition for playing time for me is number one in motivating kids, is how bad they want to be in there. But I think the girls are able to decide, it's not always just, that's not just what things they're interested in, where, boys will hang around and be involved in athletics for a longer period of time, where girls will choose to do something else. So, like at our school, you can cheer, you can dance, you can do some other things in the winter, where getting back to that, where boys, they have basketball. So, but that's been tradition forever. Now we're only running about 16. Total girls the last couple of years, and that part of that's enrollment, but
that's not freshman through senior.
Yeah, and for better part of 25 years, we were 30 plus, so we don't have freshman schedule anymore, which was a huge advantage.
But that's the thing too, though, that football gets the hit for the participation numbers, but in my observation, I think participation numbers appear to be down in most sports at small schools, and some of that I'm sure has to do with enrollment, but I think a lot of it now has to do with there's just so many other opportunities outside of school to do stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. There's a lot.
And I think some of that has led to the detriment of what goes on in the school building in terms of athletics. Because if you back in the day, if you wanted to play basketball, there's only one place you could do it mm-hmm. if you're grade 9 through 12,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's it, yeah. At school. That's it.
Say in any other sport.
Right.
Now you don't have to go. You don't have to worry about if you don't want to play mm-hmm. for your high school team. You have other opportunities.
Yeah, and we've talked about that a lot too. I'm not sure if you want to just pick on AAU basketball to begin with. You know, we've had some girls play that over the years, and I think the one thing they get out of it is more playing time, more experience. How much better do they get? I'm not sure. I look at AAU as more of a, I want to play in college, so I'm going to showcase my skills. I don't know that they have the opportunity to practice as much as they play. And that's the big key for us. You know, I look at shooting as the number one thing. I think I can provide the kids with enough time to practice all the skills, deep strategy, everything. The one thing I can is shooting. Shooting's always been, if you have a good shooter, that's, I can show them how. And, you know, I'm not inventing the wheel there, of course, but I can show them how, but it's their job to put that repetitions in to become a good shooter. But I think as far as, you know, if you're not going to play for your school team, you know, or you're not happy with what's going on there, there's so many more other options for kids to do to make themselves happy. And the one thing I think that has broke down with that is that one great thing about high school sports is that sense of community and the people rally around it. And I think kids that if you go to, you know, if you're playing in a non-school team or doing something else, you're, the crowds aren't there watching, you know, they're not cheering. There's no involvement from the crowd. And I think that's one of the things that is a great thing when you go to a high school game and, you know, it's teams are playing, there's going to be people there watching you. And that's an experience you're not going to get after high school for the most part, unless you're fortunate, one of the fortunate ones to play in college.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, when you bring up some of the outside school thing, a lot of it has to do with the image of who you play for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some very good programs out there outside of school, and you can tell the kids and those programs that are doing it the right way. But everybody likes to use the word entitlement with kids.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of the entitlement I hear from parents because they think that their kid plays for this travel team, that it's the parent,
mm-hmm.
that they think the entitlement is to them because their kid's playing on this whatever club team or travel team. And because they're doing that, it doesn't matter that maybe their travel team they're playing on or whatever is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But then they come to high school and say, well, I'm playing for, you know, they're name dropping on you.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't you playing my kid as much as so-and-so who not playing
mm-hmm.
a lot of travel ball or club volleyball or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, well, they're better than your kid.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Right.
I assume that maybe you see, and you're more at a small school, so I don't know how mm-hmm. much you see that, but I assume you see a little bit more of that from 89-90 to 2018, 2019.
I think it's definitely out there. That's one of the things. Stark County's in a spot just located where I don't think that any of our coaches see that at all, to be honest with you. I've never heard that be a problem. But in talking with other coaches, that is a huge problem. You know, you look at these, you know, talking with kids that even in our school that play on these travel teams, they know whether their team's any good or not. They know where they sit, but sometimes the parent thinks. And so sense of entitlement, yeah, it doesn't necessarily come from the child as much as that's an adult-led thing. You can get that. You know, if they think that automatically because I put all my time and all my eggs into this basket of, let's say, baseball, and I do it year-round, that I'm not automatically going to be better than the possible three-sport athlete at this school that is more gifted. And that doesn't always work. So every coach, and I can't believe it's not like this in non-school things, but I would think that every coach is trying to put a lineup out there that, and you're always going to try to think about playing time, at the lower levels, of course, but as you get older, the idea is to have more runs, points, touchdowns, mm-hmm. whatever, at the end of the game than the other team. And I think sometimes that's a problem, and that's lost in the whole idea that, yep, I'm playing all the time. Well, are you winning? Well, I don't know how important that is to kids anymore. Is it important to win? I think that's a problem, too. If you play all the time, you don't have to worry about, oh, I don't get to play till next Saturday because I got a game again tomorrow. I got a game again in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, all I'm doing is playing games. So I'm not sure that kids involved in doing that one sport all the time are really understanding the value or why are you doing it? What's your purpose? You know,
we talked about trends reversing, about you're behind the eight ball with enrollment and population in this part of the state. You know, from a coaching philosophy standpoint, you know, back in the day, you know, when you were in high school, it was mostly up to the kid in the off season to work on their game on their own, really. We talk about sport of basketball, mm-hmm. but most other sports. You know, it was up to them basically to do it in the off season. There was limited off season stuff in any occupation. You know, they were motivated in the off season if they wanted to play whatever sport. They had to get their group of friends together. Well, now it's in my opinion, strictly up to the coach. If you see, I mean, you have to organize all the off-season stuff or they won't do it. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or they have to play travel whatever sport or they won't do it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that trend will ever continue? Because I assume the trend now today, I'll always say it's up to the coach to organize the off-season stuff. The kids are, you know, some parents will say, oh, my kid does it, whatever. I'm like, well, I drive by these playgrounds every day, mm-hmm. and I was always looking for a game because I want to stop by and take a picture of it. I mm-hmm. never see that.
Yeah.
You know, now I'll see the kids showing up for the required or non-required yep. open gym, whatever it is, yep. or whatever the workout is for whatever yep. sport. But them doing something on their own where there's not a coach mm-hmm. there or a referee or a clock or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's an organized element to it. Do you think we'll ever get? I say we'll never reverse that trend of a kid really working on their game on their own.
I don't see it happening either.
And
for sure not in my career.
And people will be out there listening. They'll say, "Oh, there are exceptions. I get it.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of exceptions.
No.
There just aren't."
I don't see that changing. And it's really unfortunate because I'm the same way. You're looking for a game to film now. I remember growing up in the Quad Cities, there were no camps. There were nothing going on. I don't even remember weights being that important at UT. And we were in the Final Four when I was a junior in football. So I don't remember weight room being open or that being preached to us. You know, we came to camp. We had things in the summer that football did. But I think there's too much adult-led things now and not enough. Hey, get outside. Go play. And there's something to be said for that, not just going out and with the neighborhood kids, which, you know, when we were kids, there's 30 kids in your neighborhood, where now there might be mm-hmm. less than 10. So finding those numbers to do things is also part of the problem. But I don't think that trend's going to change anytime soon. I think it's going to be more and more going out and finding that. I don't know if it's not good, but I think the big thing is changing why they're doing it. You know, let's try to be better and let's understand what you're trying to do. Because if you're just playing games, to me as a competitive person, I don't understand why you're just playing games as opposed to how many can you win. And
Amen.
To me, that's the most fun, is trying to put it all on the line to see if you can win. And, you know, you might win more than you lose, and that's a really enjoyable experience. But I see it teaching PE and watching kids and talking to them about what they do on off days of school. And, you know, there's a lot of technology that's taking away time from kids doing things too. And I think that kids are missing out on a lot of stuff that for sure you and I got to do when we were kids. You know, even my kids, who phones weren't really a big deal. Like, they didn't get their phone until they were 16, mm-hmm. and then it was call and text, and that's it. And, but when they were little, it's their roughhousing in the house and take it outside. You know, I'm not sure how much that happens anymore. Right. It may does, like you said. There's exception to every rule, but yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you, I always love going to Stark County. So I love Tulane and I love Wyoming. I think that people do it right over there, and you can see great pride over there. And congratulations on 30 years, and it's always been a pleasure working with you. And we didn't get in the time to tell the old Westmore coaching, Tulane coaching basketball games that I got to participate in, but you guys got a good thing going on, and keep up the good work over there.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And, you know, I do enjoy it over there, and you know, that concession stand at the football game puts out that big sandwich. So, We like to try to treat people right when they come to our place.
And they do. All right, that'll do it for Scott Paxson joining us on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning.
Sometimes when you have more questions than answers about insurance and financial services, it might seem easier to do nothing at all. Your local Country Financial representative knows that every situation is unique and believes that even the biggest goals start with simple steps. So when it comes to protecting the things you love and planning for the future, don't get overwhelmed. Get started.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Walk.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Life insurance policies issued by Country Financial Insurance Company.